This podcast is not safe for work and will feature movie spoilers. It will feature scenes described of a graphic nature. It will contain language which most listeners may find offensive. Welcome to the podcast Under the Stairs. Hi everyone and welcome to the podcast Under the Stairs. This is your Sunday 88 film slasher classic series of reviews. I'm your host Duncan McLeish, welcome to the show. Up on this episode we turn our attention to disc number 42 in the collection, Christmas Evil. The review for that will be coming up after the first break. Okay, where are we? This is the last episode of the week. It has been a pretty great week, if I do say so myself. Tons of content has been brought your way, which all started way back on Monday with another one of those forgotten Jally box set movie reviews. We are working our way diligently through that entire collection and having a lot of fun doing it. On Thursday, we swung into a little bit of movie club action with listener reviews of Existence, which is the third of a four-part series looking at the films of David Cronenberg. The final installment will be revealed to you in 1 week's time. On Saturday, I dropped a very special episode covering Horns from 2013 with my guest Kate Pollock, and today is the Slasher Classic Collection. We will be kicking off next week in Bristol fashion on Monday with a little bit of the William Castle at Columbia box sets. So we're going to continue our work through there. You're going to get movie club action on Thursday. You're going to get some special movie reviews for The Banishing and also for Honeydew, and those are both going to appear in your feed on Saturday. So double bill of sexy coming your way. And then on Sunday, it's Arrow Video Assortment. So that is your week lined up for you. Over on the Teapots Collective, today you're getting a little bit of Down the Nester. That's right, myself, Mark Ball, continuing to look through the Tier 3 list of video nasties. So yeah, get ready for that. It's going to be awesome. That's our intro. Nice and concise, straight to the point. It's Sunday after all. We have better things to do, or do you? Let's find out. Have you seen Christmas Evil before? Because I'm about to talk about it after the first break. So listen to promos for shows that I love, the trailer for the movie. I'll be right back right after this.
Want to learn more about horror directors? With a lighthearted look at three of their movies? Meet fearless podcaster Gore Blimey.
I've been unsettled by bats in the past and startled by parrots, and I've even been known to jump at the odd cockatoo.
Discover horror films that are classics and others too.
There's a topless aerobics massacre, an exploding rock singer, cannibals, nude martial arts, a deep-fried prostitute.
But it's not all silliness. You'll get proper movie breakdowns, opinion, and background information, too.
Yep, in the 80s and 90s, Jeff Stryker was huge in gay porn. In every sense.
So if you're a horror film fan, come and check out the Trilogy of Terror podcast at strangeanddeadly.com or find it on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or on your podcatcher.
One of those people that has a certain charisma and a certain style, and I'm just hoping one day he'll rub off on me.
The Trilogy of Terror podcast, where we try three times harder to give you the willies.
I told you he'd be happy that we remembered him.
This Christmas, Santa's going to make everyone happy. The grown-ups. And the kids. Christmas Evil. The non-believers.
Watch out!
And the screamers. And this Christmas, you better believe in Santa, or he'll slay you.
Merry Christmas, Frank.
Christmas Evil, the night he dropped in.
And welcome back. So you just heard the trailer for Christmas Evil. This is disc number 42 in the 88 Film Slasher Classic Collection. The website says, as a boy, Harry Stadling, played by Brandon Margaret, worshipped Santa Claus until he caught his mummy rocking around the Christmas tree with him. Now all grown up and his memories of the holiday forever twisted, Harry decides to don old St. Nick's signature red jacket and long white beard and hit the streets, spreading some blood-soaked Christmas cheer of his own. Forget White Christmas, It's a Wonderful Life, and all the other hack-and-eye trash, declared auteur of outrage, John Waters. Go for the best seasonal film of all time, Christmas Evil. Making its long-awaited UK Blu-ray debut in a Jingle Bells and Whistles edition from 88 Films, Lewis Jackson's Disturbing Shocker is an essential addition to your festive fright collection. The special features, as listed on the website, is that this was released in a limited edition slipcase numbering at 3,000 units, which I think there are still a few available from what I saw yesterday. You get a limited edition booklet, 88 Films 12 Sleighs of Christmas, your handy guide to your festive frights by film journalist Dave Wayne, Matty Bruitzowitz, and Nate Roscoe. It's restored in 4K from 35mm archival elements, with audio commentary track with Lewis Jackson, a separate audio commentary track with Lewis Jackson and Brandon Margaret, a separate audio commentary track with Lewis Jackson and John Waters, and an archival video interview with Lewis Jackson and Brandon Margaret. You get the original theatrical trailer, deleted scenes and screen tests, storyboards and comment card gallery, and reversible sleeve with newly commissioned art by Gareth Gibson and the original poster artwork. The technical specs are: it's region lock to region B, picture format is HD 1781, audio format is DTS HD MA 2.0 Geo Mono, the language is English, subtitles English, certification 15, and runtime is 1 hour and 34 minutes. So I was convinced I'd seen this movie before. I mean, I was like almost 100% convinced I'd seen this movie before, and about 10 minutes into it, I realised I had not seen this movie before. I think there's a weird throng of kind of Christmas-based slasher movies that came out kind of early to mid-80s. I think my brain is just trying to parse all of them out. And as a result, this has been conflated into maybe one or maybe two different movies. So Christmas Evil was essentially first-time watch for me this time round. And I'm going to put my cards down right now. Not a big fan of this movie, if I'm honest, and there are some reasons for it. I think, first and foremost, I think, once again, 88 Films is doing a very great kind of broadening of the term slasher. I mean, it certainly ticks certain elements of the slasher, but it's, you know, it's not a slasher movie by any stretch of the imagination. It does have a little bit of that kind of Vaseline on the lens, sort of very soft focus, dreamlike, what you would expect from a kind of 80s Christmas movie sort of feel to the cinematography, which I think softens it, and in a weird way I think is supposed to soften it to juxtapose against the violence on the screen, but I don't necessarily think it works with that violence on the screen being portrayed as it is. I actually think it would have been much better if it had been a little bit more psychological, although I can already hear the internet arguing with me here. I think this movie plays with some ideas that it thinks elevates it above what it actually is, and to be honest, it doesn't quite deliver on that for me. Like I say, we are going to circle back to it. Here's a couple of issues. One, I don't necessarily think that the pacing of this movie helps it at all. You are ostensibly about 40 minutes in before you actually get a death. So you've just got a lot of a guy going to work, you know, being tormented by Christmas, putting on Santa outfits and whatnot. And the dialogue isn't great. So his interactions are a bit stunted. The acting isn't particularly brilliant. And it's just a lot of downtime for a movie which isn't particularly long. This is just over an hour and a half long. And for that first 40 minutes, well, 35 to 40 minutes, to not have some good old slasher violence is a missed opportunity. Once you get those first deaths as well, you'd have to wait a long time before the next deaths. And once again, that's just an issue with this movie. I think the pacing is kind of all over the place. Now, I am not saying that slasher movies need to have, you know, a ridiculously high body count. Some of my favourite slashers actually have a relatively small body count. But when that's not happening, you, in this movie, you're put into the mind of the killer. So this is kind of almost like Maniac, you know, where you're following your killer around in their degrees of psychosis. And it works in Maniac because Joe Spinell is a larger-than-life character. He plays that really well. His dialogue is kind of gritty and gnarly, and you see him interact with a lot of people in particular ways. A lot of this is just, like, nothing is happening. Like, and the, every time the movie starts to pick up a bit of space, an anchor gets dropped where nothing is fucking happening for, like, 5 minutes. And I find that distracting. I saw the violence and I'm like, cool, right, let's get this going. Killer Santa, I'm on board with this. You have me on board. And then, you know, were phone calls, relatives, him peering through windows, which I know he's being a voyeur and that in itself should be disturbing. You know, that should add to the element of the psycho. It just doesn't work for me. It's all just a bit kind of ho-hum. And not nearly as gritty and gnarly as it needs to be. Granted, when this movie came out, I expect, you know, back in the day, this would have been seen as being a bit nastier and a bit gnarlier. But it just doesn't work for me. You, like I say, you are doing against the type of what these movies usually do by spending an inordinate amount of time with the killer. There's no, like, this is who it was all along, it's not the real Santa. You know, it sets it up in a particular way, where we are going to basically follow our killer through the run-up to Christmas and how that affects his mental capacity. You know, the trauma of what he saw coming back on him tenfold. But those scenes only really work for me if there's a lot of compelling story and dialogue from that character in between the murders. Like, really see him struggle. It, you know, he doesn't appear to be doing much soul searching in this movie. He kind of commits what he needs to commit relatively quickly. Now, with all those negatives aside, the movie actually finishes in a pretty strong fashion, and I imagine this is where a lot of people come down on really enjoying this movie. The last 15-20 minutes are set up in such a way where we get these great set pieces. We get a home invasion where he is trying to suffocate a man using his Santa sack. Beside his asleep wife. This guy's thrashing all over the place and she ain't fucking moving. Don't buy it. But, you know, it kills him with a Christmas ornament. Once again, don't buy it. But I can see what they're trying to do here. And, you know, the scene of him with the kids, giving the kids presents, where the parents clearly know this guy is unhinged. And one of the dads just flips out a flick knife, as if that's appropriate, and everyone just acts like that's fine. Seemed a bit weird. But you do get the old kind of, like, almost nods to Frankenstein, where the Timms folk running with flame torches, which, once again, this movie's set in the 80s, come on to fuck. Like, we're just going to have a lot of parents running with flame sticks up a street. No cops. Fuck off. Oh, man. But yeah, him going over the edge at the end is kind of fun. The final shot, I mean, what does it mean? Does it mean anything? You know, the van going off the edge and then flying up like Santa's sleigh. You know, is this the final part of his psychosis? Did any of this happen? I mean, there's so many questions we could ask. The movie doesn't really, I think he liked the idea of the ending, so he just stuck with it. And that's fine to an extent. to me, I would have liked a little bit of something more. You know, like a shade in the back of the you know, story somewhere that he's been committed, or, you know, this is all in his head, or, you know, stuff that, once again, Maniac, which I imagine was probably an influence on this movie, like a movie like Maniac probably brought to the idea of it. I mean, this is 1980. Maniac's what? 1980? Oh, actually, this predates Maniac. I think Maniac's 80 or 81, so yeah, maybe they're about the same. I just, you know what I mean? I just expected, I don't know what I expected, actually. See, I'm back and forth on this one. I was speaking about it yesterday with Bo, and I was kind of like, it follows a lot of the contrivances that a lot of festive-based slasher movies have. And it does and it doesn't. It feels like it's kind of setting out its own stall. And it is remarkably different in some aspects. You know, like if we were sitting down discussing Christmas horror movies 10 years from now, I will definitely remember Christmas Evil. I just don't necessarily think it's a great movie. I think it gets some things really interesting well. But as a movie at an hour and a half, it suffers severe pacing issues. And some really stunted dialogue, and whole sections where nothing is really happening. I think that's a detriment to the movie. Like, if I compare this with a movie like Silent Night, Deadly Night, that movie moves at a pace, and I think you kind of need to when, you know, once your Santa has murdered someone, then we should be killing people. You know what I mean? Quicker than this movie does. And it kind of almost feels like there's some sort of internal struggle with him not wanting to kill again, which is once again fine to do, but it's not portrayed well on the screen. I never really feel like this guy is... What's he supposed to be? Is he supposed to be a sympathetic character? Is he supposed to be a malevolent character? Am I supposed to be, you know, feel condemnation for him or what? And the movie really struggles to even grasp what it's trying to do in that capacity, and as a result, it just comes across as it was a bit of a chore to get through. Now, I know there are huge swores of fans out there who are currently looking at their device, calling me all manner of names, and that's fine. Not every movie is for every person. This one definitely just fell short of what I expected. This is one of these ones that's always regularly on lists. Now, I don't know, I just kind of expected a better made movie, and it's... And that's not, that's unfair. I mean, the cinematography is good. The script isn't good. The acting is okay. Not terrible. And the death effects are okay, but you have to suspend a lot of your kind of disbelief in order to make it through this one. I will give credit to 88 Films. The movie looks gorgeous in its 4K restoration. Sound is nice and crisp. I was switching on and off the different commentary tracks, and it sounded okay. There's not really much else in here in terms of special features, but to have three audio commentary tracks, including one with John fucking Waters, you're doing okay if you're doing that sort of release. So yeah, I don't know if I will ever go back and check. Like, I have a, very much like everyone else, I have a list of movies that I watch about Christmas time. I don't know if Christmas Evil will ever make that rotation. And the only way I would ever watch this again is if there was some sort of show that was doing, you know, different representations of holiday figures and horror movies, where I might want to lean back into this one. But this very much was a one and done. And it's not because it's a bad movie. It's not a bad movie by any stretch of the imagination. It just did not land with me at all. Concerning grade, it's a 2.5. It sits just above I didn't like it and just below I liked it. I would love to say that on a second watch, you know, that grade's going to go up. I don't think it ever will. And I think it's a perfectly fine, middle-of-the-road Christmas-based slasher movie. And it's not really a slasher movie. I'm going to take my final break. When I come back, I'm closing out the show and I'm doing it right after this.
You're listening to the podcast Under the Stairs.
And you've been listening to the podcast Under the Stairs. This has been your Sunday 88 film slasher classic series of reviews, where we're doing disc number 42, a little bit of Christmas evil action for you. In 3 weeks' time, we will return with this number 43 in the collection, which is Schizoid. This is another first-time watch for me, so I'm looking forward to this one. A lot of buzz about this online, where people are like, yeah, finally, it's on Blu-ray. So I'm looking forward to seeing how it lands. Let me give you the deets on the disc. In this lurid shocker, a newspaper advice columnist played by Mariana Hill of Blood Beach starts receiving threats from a mysterious person. At the same time, the female members of her psychiatrist, Klaus Kinski of Crawlspace Themes Therapy Group, are being murdered one by one by a maniac wielding a large pair of scissors. Could these incidents be linked? Donna Wilkes of Angel and Jaws 2, Craig Wasson of Body Double, and Flo Gerish of Don't Answer the Phone, and Christopher Lloyd of Back to the Future also star. Special features are: this is limited edition slipcase, 3,000 units, limited edition booklet by Matthew Edwards, featuring an interview with Flo Lawrence, aka Flo Gerish, that is also in the limited 3,000 units. It's DTS HD MAGL mono, English subtitles, audio commentary with Troy Holworth and Nathaniel Thompson, interview with the writer and director David Paulson, and the original trailer. So this one's a light on special features. Technical specs: region code B, picture format HD 1851, audio format DTS HD MA mono. You have English language, subtitles English, certification 15, and a runtime of 1 hour and 29 minutes. Very much looking forward to this one. Love me some Klaus Kinski. Going to be interesting to see a young Christopher Lloyd for sure. Plus, I just like the premise. I mean, the front cover has a giallo look about it, so I'm kind of down to clown on that, if you know what I mean. So that will be coming up in 3 weeks' time. There's a multitude of ways to listen to this show. Wherever you're checking it out right now, hit subscribe, and that way you never miss any episodes that come out from Under the Stairs. You also get access to the entire back catalogue of over 800 episodes. Strong. That's a strong pause. Strike a goddamn podcast pause. Subscribe to the Teapots Collective as well. That way you get Where to Begin With, Opera Omnia, Doing the Nasty, and Chronicle, including their archives on our sister feed. You can do that nice and easy. It's the best way to support what I do. Visit our website, teapotscast.com, where you can find links to all the shows that I do, including Jaws is Shite and other regrettable outbursts. It is a booze-based banter podcast with myself, The Baz, and Scott Liam vs. Evil, sitting down once a month, talking about weird stories throughout the world and regrettable decisions and consequences of those regrettable decisions over alcohol. Yeah, you can join in too by sending in stories of your regrettable decisions or actions to regrettablepod@gmail.com. The next episode will drop mid-April, so you've got plenty of time to send your stories in. Okie dokie, visit our merch page, teapotscast.bigcartel.com. Facebook is facebook.com/groups/teapotscast. Teapots Collective is facebook.com/teapotscast. And Jaws is Shite and Other Regrettable Outbursts is just simply facebook.com/groups/regrettable pod. You reach out and interact with myself and The Baz on the twin prongs of social media sexiness, Instagram and Twitter. Both can be followed at teapotscast. The podcast Under the Stairs will return for you, my dear listeners, tomorrow, when we continue our jaunt through the William Castle at Columbia box set. We're going to be doing Mr. Sardonicus, myself and the great Derek getting down to clown with that movie. But until then, wherever you are, whatever the time zone is, and whatever you're up to in this big bad world of ours, please take care of yourselves out there. This is Duncan McLeish broadcasting live from Under the Stairs, and I am signing off.